Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda.
Vision.
That's right, everybody. The world outside your window may not be so great, but here on Post Show Recaps, everything is wonderful. It's the WandaVision finale here on Everything is Super. Hello, everybody. I'm Ralph Boner. Sorry, Josh Wigler. I'm joined here by my co-host, Ralph Boner. I'm sorry, Kevin Mahadeo.
I'm not actually Kevin. I'm Kevin that was stunt casted to appear on this. But
also joined here by Ralph Boner. Sorry, I keep saying that. LaTanya Starks. LaTanya, how are you?
I was great until you called me Ralph Boner.
I keep calling everyone Ralph Boner. I don't know why.
It's just weird.
Like deeply incepted into my brain. On the bingo card of like going into the finale, on the bingo card, is Ralph Boner on anybody's bingo card is my question.
It was on someone's bingo card, apparently.
I mean, as a last name, no, but like as Ralph.
Sure. Yeah, that's Ralph. Yeah, but Ralph Boner?
No.
Probably everybody in the Murphyverse for sure.
I don't know. Yeah. It's wild. Yeah. It should have gone full Rubber Man. May as well.
Yeah, lean in, right?
Oh my God.
Just go full Rubber Man.
Just she wakes up and just he's there in a rubber suit playing video games, and it's just like, confused. We're all confused.
Just go full Rubber Man. Well, folks, you come to post show recaps for the smart analysis on your favorite shows, don't you?
Sorry.
And that's what you're here for as we are talking about the I would say the series finale. It's certainly, that's the name of the episode, isn't it? The series finale.
It's not the last episode of the season, but it's the name of the episode.
Is how do you get any more definitive than the series finale? And that's what this is, the series finale of WandaVision, in which many things occur. And just in case you wandered in, you're like, oh, wait. They finished WandaVision? I better go watch that final episode. Well, this is it. This is the warning. That's it. I guess we spoiled that there's somebody named Ralph Boner in the episode. But other than that, we've been pretty cool up to this point. Go watch the show. Go finish the show. What did you do hit and play on this podcast if you haven't done the thing yet? So go do that. And then you come back. You'll hear all the spoilers. And they start right now. Best line of the season, have fun in prison. Definitely not even close.
I don't know if that's my favorite. My personal favorite.
Know. Yeah, go ahead.
Is Jimmy Woo after he picks the cuffs and just flourish. Just like a very Jimmy Woo delivered flourish was probably my favorite. Yeah. But my Randall Park bias might be showing here.
Yeah. Mine is definitely boys handle the military. right back.
Listen, kids.
That was definitely mine.
You've had your powers for 2 days. Please take care of the military. Okay, we got it.
Handle the military, boys.
Boys, handle the military.
Oh, my God. WandaVision, what did you do? Just a wild ending. Some highs, some lows, for sure. I'll say that, like, I am thrilled for the ride. I'm glad that this happened. I've loved talking about the show each and every week. I think that it has been a great meditation on a lot of things. I've really, really enjoyed getting to sink my teeth into, especially during this terrible time. I will never be mad for all of the incredible time that we got to spend with Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany. Finale was just all right. It was fine. It was fine.
I mean, the finale is another beast. I think it was fine is probably my ultimate review of the series. Like, if I were to like sum up my feelings on the series as a whole, it would be that I think this is a very extremely well produced, incredibly phenomenally well acted, if very flawed series.
Sure,
you had your line, and I kind of felt like this was going to be your line. Not to dig up old wounds between us, but that like I am happy it happened every week, right? Like I'm happy that we're here. I'm happy the three of us can get together to keep talking about this show. But I think it's very much like your Lost thing, right? Like we diverge so much on the idea because you're just like it was the journey, not the destination. Right. I'm like it should be both. And this isn't that.
I've come around on the destination of Lost, though.
Oh, just, good God, why are you doing this? This is a different podcast.
I just
want to
be honest about where I am in my life and where I am.
I walked into. I don't even know what's happening.
Yeah. And for the record, this isn't that. I don't think this is like how I feel about Lost. I think, like I said, my review is that. That's not the review I would give Lost. But I think it's an incredibly well produced. It's so amazingly well acted. But it is a very flawed show.
Yeah. LT, how are you feeling?
I really love this show a lot. I think there are some problems, especially with the series finale. But just in terms of the entire landscape of how these performers worked in the space of performing grief, and discussing it and like really bringing some, you know, like memorable lines. I mean, these lines are already memes. So that's how like built into, mm-hmm. I think, you know, society they're going to be and how we process grief. And there's not a lot of entertaining, well put together genre shows about processing trauma. There are attempts to be, but there's not a lot of them that do
not
it well.
Not every show can be The Leftovers, LT.
No, that's true. Yeah. If only every show could be season two of The Leftovers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that there are some definite flaws with this finale and with the amount of screen time that people got throughout the show.
Yeah.
As a whole.
I mean, I guess like there's like some level where it's like, I don't know what I expected, if not like, you know, there to be like a big, like action packed finale, right? Like it is a Marvel movie writ large as a TV show. You expect to use Kevin's coined phrase, a bunch of kicky flippies, right? Like you anticipate a certain amount of that. I was really pleasantly surprised with the resolution of the Vision battle. I'm very, very happy about, like, I put that in the conversation, like, to take this back to, like, everything is super classic stuff, Kevin. Like, I would put that in the realm of, like, how Doctor Strange dismantles Dormammu. Yeah.
I love that moment. I adore that moment. I think this ties into, like, some of the stuff that I think is ups and downs in this, right? Like, sure, every Marvel movie has to end in some sort of battle, but how you frame and work that battle is key. And compared to some of the best stuff that we've seen throughout the MCU that we've discussed, like this doesn't rank for me. The Vision one does. I think that's such a smart resolution because you have a moment where it's like these two robots fighting each other, but then like how
neither
they solve this problem.
Neither of us are the Vision. Both of us are the Vision.
But like, bringing up the ship of Theseus was really cool. And I remember turning to Robin and being like, you read that book before. She's like, well, I knew it before that. I'm like, okay, yes, you're very smart, Robin.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's true. Robin is very smart.
It is very, oh my God.
But like, so that was so cool to do something like that, to twist the normal trope of it. And I kind of wish that, like, that's
what is
not
the normal trope of metaphysical text in a battle.
Well, mm-hmm. That's the thing, right? You just punch each other until the other person stops. And that's, like, how battles really run half the time. And I, like, for this, I almost wish that there was no big fight, I guess, with Agatha, even. Like, I almost, like, wish that the Agatha song is such has become such a zeitgeisty thing, but part of me wishes that never happened and the fight became more of a like discussion, right? Like if they fought Vision and you have like that moment of Ship of Theseus and then it has to become the convincing of Wanda, like you have to drop this hex versus like a giant battle again. I think that could have been interesting and that could have been more like an emotional beat where you have to have the kids
women-
and Vision convince Wanda to be like, hey, you have to you have to free these people, you have to drop this, like it's gonna cost you us, but you have to do it. And
the women need to kick one another's asses. they have to do it.
I mean,
they have to do it. And yes, it is a reversal of the trope because the men do not
because
it's settled with words.
But like you have in Infinity War where you have moments where the women have a fight, like I'm just looking at it more from like what could have been
like
really interesting.
That was like a moment the women had a fight. Yeah, but like this was interesting because it was old school, new school, right? it was this kind of innate, seems to be born to it, the Scarlet Witch of Chaos Magic Land, right? And then there's the studied, learned, like I've been, like I was around, she like literally names the beginning of the day of the Scarlet Witch trials as like her and Ralph's anniversary. So she's been around since that time. Those two women have to have a battle, and it's cool that they did. It's cool that there's like fights between women and that type of representation happening, because we're about to watch 9 to 10 weeks of Bucky and Captain America, is what I'm going to call him, because that's what he's supposed to be now, right?
Yeah.
But it's Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Anyway.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'd like to see some women kick some butt. I really do. And I'd like to see the idea that someone as evolved as Jarvis, because Jarvis has evolved, would settle a discussion with words. Or a fight with words, I mean.
Well, I guess this comes down to like the rep sweats discussion, right? Like, it's better to have it than not, I guess. And it's just for me, I'm just also at the same time, like, I'd love to have like more fights with women, just have more women in the MCU. You can get more fights. But at the same time, like from a story perspective, like just it would have been, you know, I think a little more compelling. Like, we're glad to have the fight. It would have been interesting, but it would have been compelling to have more of a discussion about like, hey, you have to do this versus just I'm going to punch Agatha and she's going to punch me throw magic at each other. Idea that she ends up using the runes. I think that was fun.
That was cool. That was like a good comic book throwback too, of this idea that like often in the comics, I think like Agatha and Wanda like see eye to eye to a certain degree, or there are ways in which like Agatha leads Wanda towards like next steps and things. Like sometimes she's foe, sometimes she's friend.
Well, she teaches Wanda magic in the
right
comics.
So I thought that was like a cool nod to that, of like she taught Wanda.
I learned it from watching
you know, like she taught her like the, you know, you can't cast magic in the basement because I've got runes on the basement. And Wanda's like, oh yeah, well check this shit out. I've got runes on the hex.
Runes on the Hex.
I like
that. That's a great band name.
Runes on the Hex is a catchy ass song, by the way. Yeah. I don't know if I'm ready to sing it right now, but it's pretty good.
Don't know if you are either.
Yeah. I thought that was good. I guess I'm still a little bit confused about like Agatha ultimately, in terms of like everything that she wanted. I am like, Catherine Hahn was so great, and that is the thing. Is like in like all of my like when I stop down to like think about like a character beat or like the story too hard, I think I quickly surrender that battle in the face of like what it made me feel was pretty powerful. And also I'm just in awe of the way in which it was performed. And Agatha Harkness is a big example of that for me, where like, if I stop down to really think about, well, what did she really want? She just wanted power. That was it. Like, she just wanted the power. Then I say that for about 5 seconds before immediately drifting off into like my mind's eye just conjures up Catherine Hahn doing like the big exaggerated wink. You know, like all of that stuff, like that's what immediately comes back and beats out the other stuff for me.
They did a good job in terms of like, again, that bop is great and it's going to be around forever. And that to me, there was so much in this show that was done in service to moments versus in service to telling like the story to an extent and the story, right? Like, 'cause that's the thing, Agatha at the end of the day only solely exists for like what you're saying, Latanya, just to have something to punch and hit. And I feel like you could accomplish these things differently if you could have done it, because right now Agatha's sole purpose as a character and existence as a piece is to essentially give Wanda a name and drip. Like, that's it. Like the whole thing was a means to have her be the Scarlet Witch and have a new outfit. And again, how they presented and what she did, I feel like it just shows up to have that something to hit at the end. I think if you had done a little bit pacing out with the character a little bit more, you could have had a little bit more depth, even to have the fight, I guess, mean just slightly higher than what it is. And I think that there is things there for the fight.
Other characters to include in the fight. For example, you could include Monica in the fight.
Yes. They really didn't do much with her at all in the finale.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. It's just like, so I'm sorry. This character's whole existence comes down to revealing a joke about a penis and then being there to be the bulletproof person between like a deranged white guy and like two white children.
Yeah.
As what? Usual, it's you. You exist to protect white people with your body. Please frontline this so you can take the. It's just
yeah.
That alone, and they have this. They set up Monica in this to be a big player. They give her these powers. They do all this stuff to lead up to what could be a final battle that she can be and probably should be involved with, especially if you're looking at thematically the idea of grief and loss and how two different people can process
totally,
it.
Totally, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, she should be involved in this. Grieving, and they've both lost
yeah.
and in instead, much the same way.
Instead, exactly that. She, I thought, there's so many questions. She's there with Ralph Boner, which is a thing that just that entire thing shouldn't have existed to begin with. Like
Ralph
they
Boner.
Just, none of that should have happened. And... She beats him.
Come on now. Like, come on. It's ridiculous.
It's super ridiculous. And, like, it's just, like,
really
like
funny. Said,
it's funny. But, like,
he's going to be a really pivotal player moving forward, I think. Totally. I think Evan Peters has signed a 9-picture contract as Ralph Boner. Pretty sure.
It's such nonsense. I won't even get into that now. We can get into the Ralph stuff later. But
three like, movies the from point now, is, my favorite character is Ralph Boner.
I don't know. Who Kevin. Knew?
It was really, a pretty emotional really, arc when Ralph Boner used the Infinity Stones to save existence and sacrificed himself in the process.
He got really hard and stiff when he died, though, so that was strange.
Yeah, no. It was a little...
It was
a little evocative, for sure.
His body definitely froze up. Anyway.
You know, like, just, like, use your words. Say the word tumescent or something. Make it sound classier.
No, Louis Cipher. But the whole thing is, like, Monica does Angel this thing, Heart. Right? She flips him over, she rips off the gem, and then she's gone. And it's just like, where are you? As everything else is happening until the end for her to just show up to be like, I blocked these
probably
bullets for these
running,
kids.
Probably just running.
Which you know? They haven't, can she fly? Can she not fly? They have done nothing to really explore a lot of that stuff.
There
that
are no
is
rules.
Introduced to her. There are no there rules. I mean, that's what happens with magic, but it's just such a waste of what was an amazing character. And I think the worst part of it is that, oh God, is that at the end of this, right? Like, oh, well, what's next for Monica? And it's just like, well, okay, we're not going to really actually explore Monica in this show. We're going to explore it in a different show. We're going to explore her in Secret Invasion. Monica, you can't be in this show about these white people's grief. You are going to go into what is essentially the Black and Green show. That's where you will exist. And it's just like, what the hell? Like, this happens so many times. And I think that's where it hits more anger, like, rages the anger. Because, like, other people would overlook this. And for me, I'm just like, okay, so... The minority, the black character gets regulated to what is essentially like, this is the black starring show because Nick Fury's a star of this and the Skrulls are the star of this. So that's where we're going to explore her more. And you could be like, she'll be in Captain Marvel too, sure. But like, they specifically point out after setting her up to be what a major player in this. And then at the end, just drop the ball to have her, like you said, serve as bulletproof and then deliver what is one of the most infuriating lines to me in the series. And it's just.
Which
it's
line?
Absurd. Well, we'll get to that. But it's her line to Wanda before Wanda flies off into the sunset.
Well, for me, the thing that actually bothers me, while it does matter that, you know, black and brown people are relegated often to just the TV properties that Marvel and the MCU have, it's more symbolic of how... black people are used as like trauma puppets basically in art and television and movies. So we are kind of like a way to back up that like the pain of the white protagonist or antagonist is real. And so by understanding and being sympathetic with Monica, which they make her, and Tiana Paris does an amazing job as Monica conveying all of this. So you love that actress already. I love that actress already coming in. I think a lot of people did as well. And then you get to the point where you're like, okay, she's putting in work in this show. This is fantastic. And to only have it pay off as in kind of afterthought, it's like, for me, it's not like, oh no, she works more. It's like, no, get that Marvel money, please. And let's figure out a way to make your part bigger and like all of the other things too. Like, yes, people are excited now more so than ever to see Captain Marvel 2, which I think we're going to need because for some reason people don't like Brie Larson.
Because she is also a woman, so.
Oh, right. Oh, right. I forgot. Mm. Wait, Kevin, can you tell me about how people hate women?
I don't want to explain that. All right. I feel like you can speak towards that.
Thank you.
I'm not going
to. Just wanted to check. But yeah, so it's more of not like, you know, you get more money. Hooray for you. It's more of a, I'm not happy with how her story was handled in this particular piece. And I think that there could have been something truly beautiful about a person like Monica, who is so giving of herself that she literally gave her entire body to this cause just to try to get through and make sure that, like, people didn't kill Wanda and treat her like a weapon. So it might be a good idea to not, you know, just instead use the black woman like a weapon.
Yeah, I think that it is it's a really big oversight to not have done more with her in the grand scheme. And I think that it's like in on one level, and we're talking about how, like, well, she may have a lot more to do in Captain Marvel 2, or she may have like a starring role in Secret Invasion. This is that other side of the double-edged sword of the MCU's way of doing things, right? Like, we set up a character, and then, like, they show up in the next thing, they've got a bigger role there, but they probably ought to still have a satisfying role in the thing that you're showing them in, especially when you're like, I don't know, like, third billing character. She really did just disappear in the finale, and it's disappointing for sure.
But that's exactly it, right? Like, this idea of, like, oh, things to be used in the future. This is still a self-contained, like, Marvel has made self-contained stuff before where things pay off and things end, and the character, you know, who had a major presence and they want to, like, extend more. But the amount of things that they set her up to be in the beginning of the series is where it falters. Because it's one thing to have, like, a character who's smaller, like Jimmy Woo, show up later to do something huge. Like, Monica, you know, was positioned to be, like, a big character from the go, basically. And so to do that and then not pay it off and not regulate it to be like, well, maybe she'll show up later more. It's just like, that's not, though, in service to what's happening here and what you were positioning this character to be. It's almost like baiting, right? Like, oh, here you go. Look, it's diversity and inclusion. And then you watch it and you're just like, is it though? Like, diversity and inclusion isn't just like, we're there. Like, it's a little bit more than that. It's like the Star Wars thing where in Rise of Skywalker, it's just like, hey guys, there's going to be an LGBTQ, IA plus character. And you watch the movie and it's just like one scene of side characters, like barely had two lines of dialogue. And they're like, see, diversity and inclusion. And you're just like, the F are you even talking about?
So, I mean, it's, you know, like, you can only have so much, Kevin.
If we're going to get into stuff, you can only have one character. And if we want to, like, go into my major problems with the show and why, like, I am.
Can we balance it out a little bit first?
Yeah.
Because I don't want this to be one of those podcasts where it seems like we're just eviscerating what we just saw. Because there is quite a bit about the finale that I really did enjoy. And I'm one of those people who, you know, at this point, especially because I've been in my home forever, can be bought by, like, on-screen kicky flippy CGI. I was excited. I liked all the battles. I thought they were beautiful.
Oh, they looked amazing.
They looked fantastic.
They looked like a Marvel movie to me. Like, I was just like, that's what I mean about the high production value. It looked like out of a Marvel movie, and, like, the actual visuals were incredible. And, like, there's so much in there that was good. The Ship of Theseus stuff, again, I love that outcome. I love that discussion. I love the idea of setting up this idea of a different Vision, right? Like, the whole thing with Vision is the idea of he's this machine with a soul. And what do you get now when you don't have a soul, but you have the memories? Because that's what happens, right? At the end of it, he has all of Vision's memories, but he doesn't have the heart. He has a mind, but no heart. Like, what is that that we're going to get?
Well, first of all, White Vision is terrifying.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad that
like, once he got his memories back, it seemed like his blue raspberry mouth went away. That was good. That scared the shit out of me. And if, like, the idea,
you and mouths, and it's always like mouths with you.
Like, what they were going to do,
they make him do something different with the coloring he puts in his mouth for when he's White Vision and when he's regular Vision. Yeah, they just do.
He also does, like, kind of like a snarl face. He's got, like, a little bit of, like, a snarl.
They changed the prosthetics slightly, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, but they like change it so he has like a little bit of a snarl, so you know he's the bad guy.
As if trying to crush Wanda's head wasn't evidence enough.
No. You have to be accompanied by the Billie Eilish song, or else you are not the bad guy.
You need the snarl.
Can we also, the sound design in that moment, holy shite. Like when he reaches out and grabs her head, and the sound of like you hear like that kind of cracking, I was just like, oh my God.
I was like oh, woo. Well, she's definitely the dead then, right?
Yeah. I'm just glad that the blue raspberry mouth disappeared, but then he shot off into the space and you're like, hey, where are you going?
I am the Vision.
Yeah, he's going the Vision. Deal with stuff. And it's like he like peaced out. He's like, wait, can we talk about this more? And he's just gone.
Meanwhile, Vishan, my favorite, is still there, just hanging out, wondering what the hell he is, which is just horrifying. It's just one in another million of the horrifying things that Wanda has done. And has gotten away with, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's she created life, but she cares less about this life than Elsa cares about that snowman.
Did she not care that much about the snowman, Elsa?
It doesn't seem like she does.
Yeah.
She didn't know she carried it all off for like a bit until he shows up later.
Huh. Right. I guess I've only seen it the once. Yeah, I have to say though, I'm a sucker for the message of like, well, you died like literally three times and you've come back like three times. It stands to reason we'll find each other again. I don't know. Maybe that is very Lostian of me, but I do love that idea. And so their final scene together, I really did straight up. It was also just very early in the morning. I was very emotional watching it.
Yeah, the stuff with the goodbyes were incredible, right? Like, the saying goodbye to the kids. Again, the acting is so, so good. And the goodbye she has with Vision. And that is cool, though, because, like, that it is, like, for me, as, a, like, Doctor Who, like, there's characters where it's just, like, one of them keeps dying and coming back. And it's this idea of, like, you know, well, we'll meet again sometime. And, like, it is this transferred here in a way, right? Like, the idea of, like, he keeps dying but coming back and they'll find each other again somehow. And they will, right? Because she's gonna, like, theoretically speaking, she can find this other Vision. Again, what is the Vision that she's going to find? It won't be the same. It'll still be someone who have the memories, but not the heart. And that's gonna make a different person. So there's a lot of stuff there, too, and like a potential future tragedy almost, you know, very Shakespearean, in the idea of like, we'll meet again, but we're not going to be the same people when we meet again, because that's also true to life. Like, whenever you split from someone in some way, shape, or form, and you meet them later, neither of you are the same people anymore. Yeah. So there's something amazing about that, too. When these two characters are going to unite in some way in the future, it won't be these two. And this truly is a goodbye for these two characters, because who they are in the future is not going to be the same. And I think that's so poetic and so beautiful. And that was just handled so, so, so incredibly well.
I don't want to... I just like audibly cried during the scene. I'm just going to say it. Like, I just did. Like, it was just a mess. I think it's because I watched it too early in the morning. I'm just going to blame it on the time of day.
Yeah.
But it was, I was a mess and I was just like, I don't care about everything that she's done wrong for a second. Like, oh God. Mm-hmm. I also am a nerd. So I'm like, oh my goodness, the implications of this on AI. Like, what are we doing to the poor AI? They're going to destroy all of us. Thanks,
Wanda. This is why it always happens, right? Like, AI always inevitably turn against people because we are not good with handling this.
It's going to be really scary, huh?
Like, tears in the rain.
Yeah. Oh, there was a great Blade Runner reference in this.
There was. Yeah.
The Tannhauser Gate. The Tannhauser Gate on the...
On the
movie marquee.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I've seen things you wouldn't believe.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't notice that in the marquee. That's fantastic.
It's a great article written by Ryan Britt at inverse.com all about it. Go check it out.
That's awesome. Inverse, I love that.
It's great. Yeah. It's very,
sounds
very
like a great
good
website.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
great website.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, the twins are dead.
No, they're not. We know they're not. That's just also, even beyond the post-credits thing, that is like movie 101. Did you see the body?
No, they're gone.
Then they're probably not
they're
dead.
Gone. They're
like,
gone.
What?
Wanda then just walked right out without going upstairs to check? I think she would go and check.
No, they killed those poor children.
They're dead. They may be alive in another multiverse, but that time,
they're
ability,
definitely
they,
alive in another multiverse
they're dead.
Because
they're deceased.
Already shooting the movies.
Yeah. They're going to come back. They'll be fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's great.
They'll be Billy and Tommy Boner. That's who they will be. Billy and Tommy Boner.
No.
Billy Boner got that alliteration. That's good.
Can this joke not be a thing that keeps persevering?
All right. We'll try and curb it. We'll try and stop.
Curb it or I will.
Yeah. Well, they're dead. They're dead. They're deceased, but they'll be back.
They are no more. They cease to be.
They're coming back, but they're really the only, our vision, the Westview vision is gone, but Paul Bettany is still managing to make it. They really did manage to do it so that, like, everybody still has a job, basically.
Yeah. Which I like. This economy. Come on.
You know,
Paul Bettany is also still working because he was so good in this as well.
I'm so glad that they didn't kill Agatha Harkness. I can't even tell you. Because you gotta imagine.
Important question about that, though.
They're gonna have a great time bringing her back in. She's just gonna be like the Agent Coulson of Phase 4.
Jimmy Woo is the Agent Coulson. Yeah, that makes me afraid.
They'll never kill Jimmy Woo. If they do that, we will all riot. Jimmy Woo needs his own show, and he needs it soon.
I was hoping at the end that they were going to say something about like him, Darcy, and Monica.
Three of them should have gone off to space. They should have all gone with the Skrulls, and we should get all of them involved in Secret Invasion.
Darcy didn't even show up. One line.
Have fun in prison. I love
it. It was a really, really good line.
I really loved it.
Here's my question, by the way, for the Agnes situation.
And the debriefer for the week, apparently, was another thing, which I agree with.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another meeting.
Yeah.
Go on.
My question for Agnes is this. So she comes in, right? And she's just like, I'm going to turn you into this nosy neighbor.
Yeah.
And you're going to be in Westview. What the hell are the rest of the Westview people doing with that? Like, are they going to be like afterwards, like later when it all comes back and Agnes is going to be like, hey, Agnes, welcome to the PTA. Here is your glass of lemonade.
They can do whatever they want, I guess. Maybe she put her someplace that couldn't be seen. She could spell the house and like.
I guess. It's just really weird to like, you are now here in Westview as a nosy neighbor.
You with these have people nothing else to do. They'll never come around her.
That she is not.
They will shun her.
It's super weird.
It's incredibly cruel, and she'll never
Never know why. She'll never know.
Yeah, she'll never understand why. She's just going to be shunned.
If I was a townspeople, I would be goddamn worried one way or another. Like, shunned or not.
She's a witch.
This is the person who was in the sky.
Kevin, you're going to go out there and burn a witch.
Like, it's, I don't even burn that. It's just like, they would be terrified of like this person. It's not even shunning. Like, there's so much like weird unanswered nonsense about that part too, where it's just like, all right, you're a nosy neighbor who now lives in Westview, the same town that knows that she's not one of them, and like there's just so much there.
But the reason that we're happy that it exists is because we get Catherine Hahn.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Yeah. But we get her like playing this whole thing where she's doing the thing with her mouth, right? But she's like saying the words, but behind her eyes, you see the actual emotions because that's acting. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't need that part to make sense.
Yeah.
Just make sure Catherine Hahn stays in like the sequel mechanism.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. I just think it's hilarious. That's like, this isn't even like, this doesn't make sense and I hate it. This doesn't make sense and it's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so amusing.
I'm so happy.
What was also fantastic was the Wizard of Oz reference that I hope everyone caught.
Do tell.
Well, during one of the battles that I enjoyed, that I wish there were more of and more people in, Wanda threw a car at...
Oh, the Wicked... Yeah.
Yeah, and it was the Wicked Witch of the East.
Mm-hmm. You see her feet.
Just the shoes were out from under the car. It was very...
Oh, I didn't see that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's Wanda great. Smashed someone's house. I hope that person has insurance.
That's funny.
I mean, it's not a real community. You know?
Yeah.
It all went back to being terrible when she left. Not that they should not have been kept in captivity. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the housing market probably went up.
Well, I liked the Scarlet Witch look. I thought the Scarlet Witch look was great.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, yep. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
The outfit's awesome. Her hair is great. You know, Josh, I love commenting on hair. The hair is fantastic. It's incredible. Yeah.
That's one of the things Kevin texted me. Her hair was fantastic.
Yeah. Her hair was real great. It's good hair. Yeah. The outfit is great. But like I said, it's very weird to, it's like Agatha existed and the show almost existed just to explain the origin of Wanda's outfit and name. And it's like a trope. It's like, I was texting Latanya about this too, where it's just like, how movies like Justice League and X-Men Apocalypse are just like, well, this doesn't explain why Lex Luthor is bald and why Xavier is bald. And it's like, do we need the origin story of why they're bald? I feel like that's fine. They're just bald. Yeah. We don't need certain origin stories about
I think we need more origin stories about how people got their fashion and their names.
Yeah. Fashion, maybe. Names, maybe. But like... you don't need to have an explanation about why Xavier is bald. It's the same reason Patrick Stewart is. He lost his hair early in life. Like, that just happens. As a person who knows personally what that's like.
He lost his hair because of the serum that he was taking?
Different movie, I think. I don't know which one that is.
I liked the hair. I liked the costume. I liked the crown. I haven't watched the show.
Yeah, you should see her in a crown.
I haven't watched the show.
I'm sure that exists on YouTube somewhere.
So I don't know. But I enjoyed... the whole thing. I think that her whole swagger is really cool. There's this prophecy now, huh? That she's gonna destroy everything.
Prophecies.
So she's gonna the Scarlet Witch, you're more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme. You're gonna destroy the world. And I'm leaning in. I'm like, okay, well, where's Benedict?
Yeah.
Where is he? No cameo, no nothing. Are we good? Everyone's good. Everyone's fine. Gut check. Everyone's good. No cameo. We're good.
Can we talk for a second about the hilarity of the joke that Paul Bettany made?
Yeah,
he trolled everyone so well.
He's his own favorite actor.
That was so good.
Amazing.
That was such an amazing thing.
You know what?
That made me happy.
To all of the spectacular Marvel stars listening to this podcast, we know that you are. You know what? Lie to us. Keep lying.
Please.
Lie to us nonstop. Always lie. Go to the press, lie to us, tell us something really funny, make it clever, make it crafty, make it good, but lie to us so that we have more moments like this because they were hilarious.
Yeah, the fact
that it's like, oh, someone's coming and I've got and I've been wanting to work with this person for a long time. It was his damn self.
I love that. And I think for me, like that sort of stuff when it's like the PR circuit and it's like these interviews and he said something that he thought was going to be very funny at the time, then maybe that he's like, ooh, people are upset about that. I think that's okay. Like for me, I'm fine with that. I'm not as fine with like the Ralph situation, but like I see that as different too. Cause like that's the PR circuit. That's the outside the series thing versus the Ralph thing, which is very much inside the series.
Yeah.
And it's this whole other beast.
Ralph.
But like the Paul Bettany moment of working with an actor
Ralph.
He's been wanting to work with for so long and so greatly respects.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Just but one of the many great things about Vishan.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. I love him. It's incredible. I want the turtleneck very badly.
Yeah, everyone get turtlenecks now.
I can't do it though, Latanya.
Oh, come on.
No, I can't rock it. Especially because, like, you got to get a dark turtleneck, and that's when my dandruff's going to show up. Like, it's just not a good idea.
Don't tell anyone that. Maybe no,
no you'll
one
see it.
On
no,
it.
You'll see it. What you'll am I supposed to do? Pretend it's not real? You know? I'm not Wanda. You know, I can't bend reality. I got the rough.
Wow.
Look at my shoulders. You see it. So I can't do the turtleneck, but I wish that I could. And I really respect that Vision on the night that he was going to be bleeped out of existence. Was like, you know what? Turtleneck.
That's
like, yes. Good call. Absolutely. Going out in your Sunday best.
I wasn't sure if I could pull off a turtleneck, so why not right before I get erased from existence? I might as well try it.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't know what he was. Yeah. I mean, like, that kind of stuff really gets to me. It really bums me out.
What am I? Am I a turtleneck guy? Let's find out. Puts it on. I am. Yeah. I know one answer. Let me find out the other answer now.
Yeah.
Am I a gold chain guy?
I love it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that, like, you sent me that picture and I was like, this is The Rock. It's The Rock. It does it's look the classic turtleneck with, like, gold chain Rock.
with the pouch. Yeah. 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 That's great. Yeah. That's really good. So in the final scene, in the post credits one, in the post credits scene, so Wanda's alone. We assume Sokovia. We assume she's returned home.
She's comfortable. I feel like we can assuredly say that.
You know, it's kind of got this end of Avengers Infinity War, beginning of Endgame vibe. She's got the Thanos thing going on. She's like living alone.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a women's correctional facility or
yeah, it looks very comfortable, place for people very to get nice.
Some mental assistance.
Yeah,
very she's assuredly not.
She's alone.
Custody.
She's alone. But she's also like doing the Doctor Strange thing, right? Where she's like multitasking. She's reading the Darkhold
in the astral plane,
and that was just another minor
she
thing.
Hears
though.
The voices.
Yeah, that's another which could be in her head or it could be real. Who knows? We'll find out. I guess when Scarlet Witch returns. That's another thing, though. Like another of those moments where it's just like it's done for the audience because there's no reason she needs to astral project herself outside and inside. They only did it so we as the audience could follow her. But like when he was doing it, there's usually like context, right? Like someone he's talking to someone else or something's happening. And this
she's making some tea.
But she's not actually drinking it. Oh, it only exists because they wanted to misdirect the audience. I get that you want to make the excuses for it, but come on. Like
sometimes,
it only exists.
Sometimes you
to
need
surprise
to make a cup
the
of
audience.
Tea in like a nice Lululemon outfit.
When the OG person Cheers. Did it, Dr. Manhattan, he was multitasking many things at once, and that's why there's multiple versions of him. They did this just because they wanted the audience to be like, oh, she's living by herself. Twist! Like that's the only reason. So, I mean,
it was
just
cool. It was visually cool, I thought.
Yeah,
I thought
it was but nice.
I thought it looked nice and I quite liked it.
yeah.
Are we to walk away from this moment feeling sinister? Are we supposed to walk away from this feeling like Wanda, back at it again? Did you learn anything? Like, are we supposed to...
When you let the person go without any sense of consequences or punishment or anything... They would open the dark magic book and read. Like, who saw that coming?
Magic book, what are you supposed to do? Not read it?
Well, you shouldn't have the dark magic book, and you should just be, you know, in custody somewhere for the crimes
let me
you
ask
committed.
You get a hold of the Darkhold. You're not going to peep that thing. Like, I'm going to open that up and be like, it's pretty good.
Had LaTanya committed the torts of false imprisonment and kidnapping of thousands of people.
The torts!
You know, as well as violated the Sokovia Accord, LaTanya, would have been put into prisons.
Yeah.
Yes. You know LaTanya, what I mean? Unfortunately, you don't get the walk off because we're not
I don't
the
really
right,
get yeah. to make that decision, Josh.
No.
Well, I'm just saying if you had the Darkhold.
But taken away immediately.
Okay, so if I was white. Got it.
If you had the Darkhold.
Right, I'd be white.
Some scarlet privilege is what this is.
Scarlet privilege. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Hashtag scarlet privilege.
Yeah.
of course I would read it. Are you kidding? I would read it to Phil. I would read all of it, and then I would reread it. Oh, just like my familiar.
Yeah.
What animal?
Why would I ever tell you that?
Oh, I was like, why animal? I'm like, oh, I guess it could be a person.
Yeah. Good Lord. Yeah. This is what happens when Kevin goes on vacation.
Is she going to be presented as a protagonist or antagonist in Multiverse of Madness? I'm just trying to ask the questions, man.
You're
Don't be mad
the question,
at me.
But we're also avoiding the big issue. Is she going to be a protagonist or antagonist? And the reason why we're asking this is because the show did a terrible job of actually, you know, pointing the terrible crimes that she actually committed. Here's a straight fact, pretty much. In this show, Wanda Maximoff committed more crimes than Hayward. Hayward's actual crime is that he fired a gun at children. Everything else he did was not criminal.
Yeah.
Wanda Maximoff kidnapped people, psychologically tortured them, held them against their will, and yet, of course, Hayward goes to jail because he is the established bad guy. And
Hayward did other criminal things, by the way.
See you later.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Hayward did other criminal things.
I'm curious to hear what other criminal things Hayward did, actually.
Well, he doctored footage that's on official FBI server, official sword servers.
The footage she showed was her smashing through the window and coming down.
Yeah, but it was doctored. It wasn't. Like, we saw how that actually went down. We went back in her memories. She did do the thing of using her powers to open the door, and she used her powers to, like, break down the window, but he manipulated that whole thing, and it played out pretty differently from a certain point of view than perhaps from the way you're seeing it.
He cut the footage to when he showed the people to make them see it a certain way. But
yes,
again,
but the cutting of the footage is the crime.
But that's not illegal, because he's not...
What?
It's because he's showing it to the people there. He's manipulating the people. If he did it in court and you show doctored footage, yes, it's a crime. But if you're showing someone doctored footage, showing the footage is that a crime though?
Okay.
He's gone. He's in jail. We'll never see him again. He's out. We're done.
We should have known
Hayward.
That guy was bad. He was a bad guy on Law and Order SVU. We should have known
this guy was born to be a generic bad guy on television.
He tried to kill children.
He fulfilled the prophecy.
Really wanted to hammer home this is a bad guy between the, like, bringing up Monica's mom and then have him shoot
my
at
gosh.
Children.
And then he tried to run them over with a Humvee.
He's
not children.
I'll be honest with you. Not that good of a human, I think. This director Hayward.
Wanda still committed more crimes and did worse things.
Well, I mean, it's fair that the number of crimes that she committed was larger. I'm just saying that those weren't the only crimes that
she
committed.
Also, try and put her in jail if she doesn't want to go.
Well, no, don't you understand, though? As Monica said, like, she gets it. It's okay. I would have, if I had that much power, I would have done the same thing. It's too bad that this company who made this didn't have some kind of pithy slogan about great power and what comes with that. It's very weird because it felt like that could have been a really good time.
Oh, she's from Sokovia. She wouldn't know that.
Yeah. She watched the 70s Spider-Man cartoon while Spider-Man. She was binging all the TV.
No, not her.
Obviously. Monica could have said that. Monica's entire thing is, if I had that power, I would have done the same thing. And so I'll see you later and let her just fly off.
Well, she's there to forgive Wanda.
Exactly.
Or on behalf of the audience.
On
Even
behalf
though
of the audience.
It's clearly shown that if Wanda is given the opportunity to actually hear what she's done and not be in denial about it, she first resorts to murder. Like, the first thing she was going to do was kill those people.
Mm-hmm. And then, she did it when she was accidentally in the first episode, when she choked that the one dude. And then you have to do the stop it until Vision was able to interrupt.
Now, I mean, I understand, and I'm going to do the advocate of the devil's thing here. Thank you for that.
Can't believe Al Pacino didn't show up, by the way. It's such nonsense.
Where are you, Al Pacino? Where are you? Losing a Golden Globe for a ridiculous TV show is apparently the answer.
I don't want to talk about that, actually.
Okay, great. What I was going to talk about was playing devil's advocate, right? It is difficult to argue that there are characters in the MCU who have been through more psychic trauma than Wanda Maximoff. She has had to experience the death of, like, her only rooting people in her world over and over and over again. And she can never grow close to a person. And then the only person she grows close to dies because she has to murder him, and then she gets to watch him be murdered again. So that's bad, right? She creates a pocket universe in order to deal with her grief because she can't bury the one that she loves. All of that is terrible. And I completely understand people who say that they get why they feel that Wanda doesn't need to be punished any further, but I think I disagree. Simply just because there are people who have had to deal with actual trauma and also the account and be accountable for the things that they have done in their life.
Yes.
Right. There's no accountability here. And that's what makes it really important. And there are, I don't want to sound all Pollyanna-ish about it, but there are children watching this show, right? There are children at home with their families, like watching this show. And they should learn that when you do bad things, like, you know, world breaking and building and nearly killing people and, like, you know, false imprisonment and kidnapping.
Psychological torture,
that you should face some consequences for that. You don't just get to fly away. You really don't.
You don't get to fly away with, again, all the heroes of the show, all the good people in the show, downplaying like, what she did and being like, it's okay. The only people who was just like, Wanda's bad and dangerous were Agatha and Hayward, who, as you said, Josh, is probably the worst person on Earth. So you have the worst person on Earth saying that Wanda's bad, and that's the only one saying Wanda's bad. It questions whether
Hayward is the
that.
Worst person on Earth.
Is that what you said? You said, well, you said he's a pretty terrible human being. He's
definitely
a good
bad human. Bad human for sure.
Yeah.
If I said the worst on Earth, I think I misspoke, but he's definitely a shitty dude.
You did not.
I think I put words in your mouth.
No, that's okay, but I don't like, you know, I'm not going to like fully distance myself from that take. I think that's, you know, he's a pretty bad guy.
But you have the situation where, Wanda doesn't face consequences for what she did. And she doesn't. And, you know, the people, again, all the people who are our main POV characters who are on the good side, basically absolve her of what she did, letting her fly away. There's so many ways you could have done this to not do that. You could have, as you said, is she going to be a good guy or a bad guy? And they fake the idea of having her, like, because the story they told is so emotional. By doing everything they did with the backstory, by showing all the trauma, it really is endearing the audience to allow for, like, oh, but hasn't she suffered enough? As LaTanya was saying, the way you tell a story is important, and they purposely did a lot of that. Meanwhile, you have Wanda here at the end. You could have done is just simply either have Monica be like, hey, I totally get why you did that, but you definitely need to turn yourself in. And Wanda has two choices. You either can end it with Wanda being like, I don't think I'm going to do that. And leave, and you're like, great, there's that. Or you're right, and there you go, there's that. As opposed to what we're left with, where the only voices we're getting for the end of this are from all the positive characters. You know whose voice we did not get in this? Except we got a glare? The actual victims of what she did. Why are they still there? All of them were complaining about their families and their children in the houses and elsewhere, but they all decided to stand around to glare at her later, which is just ridiculous.
Well, the wall the Hex came down, they probably wanted to get back to town to see, you know, their children.
But that's where they were. They're in the same spot. That's what I'm saying. They didn't go to their kids.
They ran out, though.
No, but when she shows up and they glare at her, it's the same spot they were there.
It's just the glaring spot.
To the glaring spot, as opposed, and none of their kids are there, so they didn't go to their kids. Anyway, that inside, like, we don't get any of their POV, and this is the problem with the Agatha.
Got to eat at all during this time?
Well, she probably made it that they thought they were full, so, or, you know, magicked food into their stomach.
When
who
you
knows?
Stop analyzing, think about that. Yeah, it's,
like, the people, I watched some more of this again, like, last night and today, and I was like, what about the people on Ellis Street or whatever? They just been standing there.
It's when you really stop to chew on Wanda's ending, it's tough. It is.
Well, and that's the thing. They purposely avoid it. The same way they purposely avoid how does Wanda putting Agatha in a way will affect the Westview people is because they write off the Westview people. They write off all the people that this happened to. The literal one brown person in this show stands as a prop to a white woman's pain. That's his entire existence in this show. And it's, to be fair, he's the one POV we get for one scene with Vision. Because every other, again, this goes back to the Agatha thing. Every other scene we got where we saw what is being happened to in terms of the voicing it is all Agatha. And we saw that she actually mind controlled Herb. So even that wasn't real. The only real one was Norm in that one scene. They avoided so much to show how the damage that she was doing. And even in the scene where she breaks free in this, they're scared, which is fair. They should be terrified of her. But instead of, again, expressing the anger and the actual deep pain afterwards, they just do the glare.
They didn't go there.
That is the thing. They're doing it in that way. How you tell a story is important. And instead of, like, actually having her face any consequences, she doesn't. And this idea of consequences will come is crazy, because like she should have faced consequences then, because, like, once again, how you tell a story is important. other people are facing consequences for the stuff they did on a regular basis. The idea of just like consequences will come is shit I hear all the time. And I'm in real life for certain people when they do a bad thing, we're keeping told consequences will come. Don't worry. Just wait for them. They don't end up coming also, by the way. And for to see it in this fictional story, to see this story being done where these people get tortured and horrible things happen, and you have an opportunity to actually have the consequences happen, and you choose not to, and the excuse is consequences might come, that's crazy. Like, it's just, it's insane that they did that. That the actual people that were hurt, that were victimized, have no voice. They exist solely to prop up this white woman's pain. And that's insane to me, that that's the way that this ended. Like, that's my biggest issue with this altogether, and I think it's an inexcusable issue. And like, yes, the other stuff is great. The grief is amazing. So much other stuff in there is so spectacularly well done. But to then write off that part of it, I think is unfair. Yeah, I think both need to be inspected under the microscope. And that's really what the end thing is here, is the idea of writing off that I think is completely unfair and should be acknowledged and looked at with the appropriate lens.
Yeah, I agree. I don't disagree with that at all. And I think especially because I mentioned it as a joke before, but I'm serious. Like, Leftovers did it, right? Like, Leftovers goes there. Like,
I really need to watch that show.
Leftovers is the best. Leftovers is the absolute best. It's just such a good show, and nothing will ever do that the same way, because that show is just outstandingly unstoppable. But I think, like, that was a show that really explored the nuances of painful decisions born from pain, and like how you don't ever lose that pain, and like how do you accommodate that? How do you bring that back into your life while still like having that be like a constant passenger? What are the consequences of the things you've done? What are the consequences of this like universe where this is like where like everything is so unfair and that's just the status quo? The show just does such a masterful job at that. And I don't know. I definitely, and I said this a few weeks ago, like I really thought that the show, I had a lot of faith that the show would interrogate that in a really deep way. I think definitely in the final balance of things, just like letting Wanda walk unchecked is really unfortunate. I think at least she can walk and that could be powerful. But you got to check it, and the show doesn't check it. Show doesn't check it at all.
It's what I was afraid of, right? Like, we talked about it, like, weeks ago. Like, my fear was that they were heading down this road, and ultimately...
Your fear, once again, was white women.
Yeah. Feel like... anyway. But yeah, it's weird, because, again, the show goes out of the way to portray it to have the audience feel that way through the subtlety of storytelling, right? Some of it more obvious with the backstory and the grief. But even as Monica's line of like, they'll never know how much you sacrifice, is purposely to instill the idea of like the heroism, because the whole thing with heroes and every heroic story is about heroes sacrificing. And to drill home that line as one of the last lines of they'll never know how much you sacrifice is still trying to paint it into this perspective of like, well, what Wanda did was heroic. Also, it was like you sacrificed a thing of your own device that caused all this trouble to happen. And it's just there's just so much of that like gets hand waved away in a story that like, if for me, again, until I'm proven wrong, give me this story with a black or brown main character and have this outcome be the same, we can talk. But it never is. It's never that. It's never, this is not the story we get. And now, if they ever do this again, and they put a black or brown person in that role, they will face consequences, and their excuse will be, well, but that's what you wanted, isn't it? And I'm just like, yeah, that's the point, didn't you? Like, it's just constant.
Can I ask a question? What type of consequences would you like to see her face?
Well, it's not even like, like we said, right? The it's just as simple as that one line where Monica says the idea very simply, hey, I understand what you did, but you know you have to turn yourself in right now. And Wanda either leaves, and that like kind of solidifies like, oh yeah, she's really shirking the responsibility there, or is just like, you're right, and does. And to me, that is at least a statement of like, at least you are being, you know, in custody for the things you have done. I don't need her burned at the stake. I don't need any of that. I just need the one repercussion of something like that to at least solidify her in what her leaving is bad, or she goes into custody as a hero because she turned herself in for the things she did. And you even set that up, because if she's in custody, you can also set up Doctor Strange, because she's in custody and she's someone in trauma and grief and in pain and, you know, a little bit, you know, unstable. So you can have then Doctor Strange come in to work with that through the multiverse of madness. Like, they could have still had everything that they were setting up for instead of doing it this way in order to just make her kind of like this fugitive, sort of. No one was there even asking her to come down.
It's like, very sympathetic of you. It's sympathetic of you. I would say wrong. The correct answer is she's burned at the stake, but then something goes terribly awry and she escapes anyway. And that's how the story really begins for the next.
It would have worked well if they hadn't had the stake scene, right? They already did the stake moment. If they hadn't done that, like in the fight.
Come on. We've got to build more stakes. More pyres. There have to be. I'm kidding, of course. I'm kidding about this.
Yeah.
Please don't burn people at the stake. Let's start there.
Let's not do that anymore.
So the show's over. It's done. It's the series finale.
There's an episode next week about the making.
There's the making of, we're going to get together. I think I'm certainly going to watch that. So I'll, not mandatory, but we'll talk about what we learned from it for anyone who has seen it. Start setting up Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I believe Mix Master Mike Bloom's going to be here for the handoff because the three of you guys are going to walk forward with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So we'll do four of us on the podcast next time. Get through some feedback. We certainly will have plenty of feedback to get into about WandaVision writ large now that the show is done. So plenty to do next week. Podcast continues. So this is just like our first shot at talking about the finale because it's a lot. There's a lot to chew on. It's very complicated. It's a big show. It was as zeitgeisty a show as there's been since, I mean, The Mandalorian. Disney Plus with those zeitgeisty shows. You know?
The Twitter trending hashtags, like the watch-alongs.
Yeah.
It's been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, we know that there's tons of stuff that we didn't get a chance to discuss here. So, like, this is where your feedback really means a lot. We'd like to hear from all of you in our patron community and beyond. I mean, I guess... If you don't want to be a patron, fine. But I don't know why you wouldn't want to be a patron.
Of course, you can always sign up. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. There's a lot of fun to be had should you sign up and join us, whether it's Dungeons and Dragons or the Wario Casino, or you just want to talk to us about your favorite shows. We're here for you and we're ready to talk and it's going to be a great time. So consider signing up at... Not for nothing, this week it's my birthday, and like if you want to be like super cool for my birthday, like maybe you could sign up and just like say hi to me directly in the Discord. That might be fun. It's just a thought as I'm doing like my weird little like Wanda Wiggly hands and just make bending reality.
There's like actual balls of magic coming. Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
It's pretty weird. It's pretty strange. It's pretty odd.
Pretty strange, eh?
Pretty strange.
Pretty madness.
So we'll be back next week. We're going to talk about more stuff. Mike Bloom's going to join us. We'll do the handoff.
Mike Bloom.
He'll be here with you guys for the rest of the next the show that's coming up. The new Captain America show. I'm excited for it. I think it'll be great. So that's going to happen. It's going to be fun. Follow everybody here on the Twitter machines. At LK Starks. At Kev Mahadeo. At Round Howard. We're around. Let us know. I don't know what I'm asking you to let us know about, but anything, whatever. What did you do?
Just let us know. We're around.
What did you do for food today?
I think Josh is broken.
Yeah. I'm actually really tired. Yes. So I'm gonna call it here. We'll have another podcast next week. Plenty more to discuss with WandaVision and looking forward to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Stop right there.
Vision.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.